Hi, it's Diane, and it is Friday, May 27th. Wow, it's last week of May. I can't believe it. I'm here with a Noon group, and so far we have Jeannie and Tammy, and let's start with celebrations and check-ins. Who wants to go first?
I can do it.
Thanks.
Well, my older son, Micah, is becoming much more independent. He's talking to him, but basically on his own. He wanted to go to school all the time early. He's been getting there consistently. I can't say totally consistently on his own. He would like to get there early, but he has a brother who kind of sometimes is off and doesn't want to get there that early. So he's been getting school 10 minutes early, and he just to just chill out and just do his stuff. And he's advocating for himself much more to do his work. So he's been doing a lot of work. He's been doing a lot of work, and he's graduating. You know, he's not graduating. He's in 10th grade, but he's ending the year strong, and he's doing well. His room's still a mess, but that's okay. He's done well in a lot of other areas, so I'm proud of him there. My other son is working on his stuff, too, so I'm happy about that.
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot to celebrate, Jeannie. You guys have been working hard over the last year. So.
Yeah.
Cool. And you said you've got about a week and a half left before school's out?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. Tammy, what about you? What's going on at your place?
Well, my celebration, I got my fourth grader. I got him to school pretty good today. Just a little bit late, but it's okay. We got there and all was well, so that's my celebration. That's a huge celebration this week. So, yeah.
Well, I think that, I know you posted on Facebook, and it sounds like it's been a little bit of a challenge for a bit here.
Well, he has a huge appointment for the third time back with a neuropsychologist in July. So it's just something else is going on with him. And I being that I don't know what it is yet, I mean, it's difficult to, once I know what it is, it'll be okay because then I'll know how to handle it. But I don't right now, so it's a little more difficult. It's challenging. it'll be okay.
Yeah, so how well are you able to stay in that place of curiosity?
How well am I what?
Able to stay curious.
Yeah, very well, actually. I've been curious about him for quite a while, and we had a meeting. We had a huge consult with a neuropsychologist and all of that. It's just that he couldn't schedule him until July. But so I've noticed a lot of different changes, and we were able to take a lot of new information back to the doctor and all of that. And I was able to, you know, update the school on all of that and everything. So it's good. It's just challenging because I don't know everything that. Excuse me, I don't know the breadth and the width of what I'm dealing with, that's all. It'll be okay once I find out, then I can, you know, start working on that. But I need to be careful when I look
at that. Yeah, no, I guess, Tammy, the question I'm kind of curious about is what is it about knowing the exact right answer here that's going to change for you?
Well, then I'll just have some more information. I mean, I know how to treat him. I have to, you know, there are certain things I can do with him. There are certain things I can't. I know what works. Well, actually, I know more of what doesn't work than what works, actually, at this point. So I think that's where my greatest challenge is right now. So.
Yeah, no, and I know it's so difficult, particularly if you're a dot the I and cross the T kind of person. It's being in that place of not knowing and feeling like, okay, at some point I'm going to get an answer that's going to just open up the skies and it's going to, you know, change everything. And I guess, you know, my challenge to you is that you continue to, which you've been doing brilliantly, you know, parent the child you have and worry less about the diagnosis and more about what you know works well.
Mhm. It's just that every day is
that.
Kind of different, so.
Yeah, it is.
It's just, yeah. And the people, some of the teachers at school don't make it any, I mean, they add to my, it's hard to not, working with them is more difficult than working with him. Put it that way, in a sweet way, you know, but. It'll be okay. it's almost the end of school, so. And he'll pass on to the next grade and everything. But getting him there can be a challenge, so.
Yeah, no, I know it can be difficult. You know,
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move back. Jeannie, let me just double check and make sure nobody else joined us. So, just Jeannie today. So, Jeannie, where are you going to take aim?
Let's see, since pretty much their school year is over, they've done well. I guess I'm just concentrating on them getting through school, and they did well in it. I think some kind of, I'm not even sure about it, maintenance program for their, to maintain to be organized during the summer when they go back to school, so I haven't really, thought about phrasing that well. So I think just getting some order even into their routine again of just getting up in the summer and getting, I'm not even sure, I didn't even think about taking them. I was just thinking of their accomplishments since the school year is almost over. So I really don't know yet, honestly.
Okay, well, so it sounds like you're hovering around maybe how to best use the summer to try to prepare for the next school year. Is that a fair way to phrase it?
Yeah, it's kind of vague. I'm just, that school's going to be done in 2 weeks, and we have to think about what's going to happen in the summer. They have Boy Scouts coming up and everything else. They have outings. So there's nothing really to aim on as much. It's just kind of really let them have more relaxing summer, because it was a very stressful school year. Really was very stressful to push them through. They did well. They finished strong with A's and stuff, but let them kind of relax a bit, and me too, instead of pushing.
I'm hearing kind of two things, so let's figure out which one you want to take aim on, because it sounds like one of them would be kind of how to leverage the summer as an opportunity to kind of continue some of the work you guys have been doing during the school year, and then the other is how to really enjoy and relax this summer. Which one feels more compelling?
Enjoy and relax the summer. Just enjoy the summer.
Cool. Awesome. So, Tammy, what about you?
Well, I really need to take aim at, at least two of my kids are in summer school this year, so which I just found out. So I really need to take aim and kind of readjust to that reality. So,
tell me specifically, is it about getting your head around the mindset you want to be in? Is it about the logistics of it? What do you think is going to be the most important part for you with this summer school reality?
I just want them to get there and to do what they need to do. And I just kind of want to make it to August. This is what I want to do, really. So I really just want to go somewhere and cry, actually. But I just need to, my senior, he thought he was going to graduate. He found out he wasn't. He needs one more class. So that's okay. He'll be all right. And I already told him, if we're going to pay for this, for you to do this, you have to make sure you go every day and put your best foot in. So he was like, okay with that. So,
Yeah.
And then the other one is an enrichment program. So the other one's the fourth graders in an enrichment program, and he should be pretty okay with that. So,
yeah. So, Tammy, I got to say that, I hear you saying you want to just get through the summer. What if there was a pleasant surprise this summer? What would that be?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What if there was a pleasant surprise this summer and it wasn't just getting by? What would that be?
I just want to play with them in August, really. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's my thing. School this year has been very difficult. Really, really difficult. And one of the kids is going to a whole new school next year, a whole new program. Which is okay. I'm all good on that. I'm all on board with all of that. Whatever path that they need to be on. Gary and I are good to support all of that. It's just been a lot of, changes, and it's just been a really difficult year with it. And I wish I didn't have to go through July.
Yeah, but it's hard because it just feels like it's like one more thing to add to an already challenging year. So,
well, and it's such a challenge. It's not fun for them. It's a lot of work for them. And I just, it's hard to see them working so hard. And it's hard to, it's kind of like, can't one thing just kind of roll into place for them, you know? But,
well, so the question that I want to ask you, Tammy, it might be a little bit of a stretcher for you. Are you up for it?
Sure.
What if you didn't have to wait until August to have fun?
That would be really great. That would be really, I would be really happy about that, seriously.
What do you think about taking aim, and please use your own words on this, but as something around helping your kids to have fun during summer school?
Yeah, we could plan some.
So don't jump to the solution. Stay with the problem. Because what I heard you say is that you're exhausted. It's been a long year. And what you're thinking right now is, oh, my gosh, I just got to get through the next 2 months. And so what if it wasn't about just waiting until August? What if it was really, because what you want is you want more fun in your life. What if you didn't wait till August to make that happen?
Right, I just want to have fun with them. Maybe we could do some weekend things in July with them. You know,
okay, are you willing to take the challenge to take aim there? And not necessarily jump to the solution, but to stay with the challenge for a minute.
I could take a challenge from that, yeah.
Okay, having fun during summer school. All right, Jeannie, anything came up for you as I was talking to Tammy? I want to just loop back with you before I jump into the lesson.
No, I mean, I know it's going to be, we're doing some things, and some of my sisters coming out from Missouri. So we have some things planned in the summer for us as a family, and we have to actually tackle the house and do some work in the house. But my kids do Boy Scouts, so they have their outings, and they're going to do something at church. So there's a lot of things that my kids do in the summer. So it's a busy summer, you know, but to do something as a family, that's something we don't always do because Boy Scouts is always big in for my kids, and my husband too, he's a leader. So we have to do something as a family, even though my sister's coming out. So you know, we have to decide on that, doing something fun as a family.
Okay, cool. All right, so that's taking aim. We're going to talk about, and I know if you're working on the year-round workbook, not taking it personally. Is what we're talking about today. So I don't know which workbook you guys, do you guys have the May supplement in front of you, Jeannie, or do you have the year-round one? Can you find the chapter we're on?
Believe it or not, I copied from 2 years ago. I think it's the same. They don't take it personally and compassion, right?
We've actually split them, but it's the same sort of thing. So we're going to talk about don't take it personally today. You know, the reality is that a lot of times what happens for us when our kids get challenging or the situation with our kids gets challenging is that we focus on kind of the impact on us. And that's a really human nature, right? So our kids are acting out. They're having a hard time focusing, whatever it is, and we feel like, oh, they're disrespecting me or they're being rude to me or they won't listen to me. And maybe the voice in your head says, I must not be a good parent or this might happen, or the voice in your head says, how dare they? They have to treat me with more respect. But the reality is that a lot of times what happens is that when we focus on our role in the situation and we kind of take it on ourselves, we lose the perspective of really focusing on supporting and helping our kids. So it's kind of like somehow we screw them up or they'll never change or, you know, that inability to kind of really change our perspective and not get triggered. I mean, it's probably 10 times more easy to get triggered when we're taking it personally, like it's our fault or our responsibility. And that's just often the two things we look for is this my fault? Is this my responsibility? And we do. We're going to handle the situation very differently than if we're more objective and just say, okay, this is happening right now. It's not about me. It's not even necessarily about my kid. But I want to help the situation without reacting without kind of getting caught up in the whole thing emotionally or intellectually in our head as well. And so not taking it personally is a great way. Last time we talked about non-judgment, and in the groups that I was in, we talked a little bit about kind of responding like a robot and not responding like negatively charged or in a way that is kind of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. This has to stop. If we respond with, you know, just a more neutral reaction, not taking it personally is something that really does help us in our ability to do this. And it helps us to really focus on responding rather than reacting. Because the minute we take it personally, we're going to be like, oh no, this is my fault, or this has to stop, or whatever else, and we tend to get more triggered when we take it personally. So I'm curious for you guys, where in your life do you tend to take things personally or blame, and what kind of comes up for you in this topic?
I really take it personally when sometimes when I'm getting them to school, because it's been a hard year, right? Then some days when I'm getting Eli to school, he's a fourth grader, it's just so many different tools that I have to use, that Gary and I have to use to get him there in a good way. And then some people at the school, the adjustment counselor or the principal will call me or something, and they'll say, if only you would do this, or if only you would do that, then he'll be here, you know, he'll be here and he'll be fine. But,
Can I poke a hole at that? So how true is that statement? If only you do this one thing, he'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, so many times that has been told to me in the past couple of months. And
but wait a second. So, Tammy, how true is it?
It's not true, but there are those days, you know, where they just, you know, it's kind of an out-of-the-blue confrontational kind of a thing, and they are not happy when they're talking to me. They're very upset when they're talking to me. And,
right.
You know, so
well, that makes sense that it would be hard to not take it personally, because they're telling you, here's the solution, if only you do it. And
exactly.
You don't want to be yelled at, and you don't want to be to blame. And so your next reaction is, oh, my gosh, I got to do this thing that they told me. And then there's pressure there, I would imagine.
Like, I just rolled out of bed and threw clothes on him. And I'm kind of like, okay, guys, well, this has been a 3.5-hour process, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You try and tell people.
So what do you tell yourself? So if you know that it's not true, right? So I'm telling you, Tammy, if you'd only be more strict with the boys to be able to get out the door better in the morning. And you know that's not true, right?
No. Yeah, I know
that's not what it's about.
No.
So if I told you that, if I tell you that right now, if only you ... what's the voice in your head say?
Well, when it first started happening, I would get really upset with myself, and I'd say, well, you know, there must be something I'm not trying. Now, what I've tended to do now, unless I'm confronted and it's kind of an out-of-the-blue thing, what I've tried to do now is just say, well, the easiest thing for me is to say, we are coming from very different perspectives, them and I, because that sets me back to where I'm supposed to be.
Right, so if you're able to kind of take a deep breath and go, this person is looking at the situation completely differently than I am, and that's not my reality, how does that help you?
No, that's not my reality at all. But the thing that aggravates me is that they refuse to even step into my reality, you know?
Well, so what do you do there? So you're in a situation where people are so convinced that it's a certain way, you know that that's not true, and they're not willing to kind of look at things your way. What are your choices?
Well, my main goal that I have to do is to be gentle with him. So if he's 20 minutes late, I don't care. At least I've been gentle with him. I don't want to be harsh with
them.
So
you're making that trade-off, and you're really clear about what's most important to you as a relationship.
I'm very clear about that, right? And I really don't care what they say. I just, I'm to the point now where I'm just trying, and if he's there, and he's, you know, and I've been gentle with him, then I'm okay with it. But it's taken a while for me to get there.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like you're still working the muscle, because it sounds like you can say out loud, I don't care what they say, but if it is sudden and it takes you off guard, what's different?
Yeah, it just shakes me, because I guess, you know, they have titles, right? They're the adjustment counselor.
There's some intimidation.
The
it is an intimidation factor here.
Well, yeah, of course, because I thought that they were supposed to be trained in this kind of stuff, and they're clearly not. I mean, they're clearly with my children, they're clearly not trained in caring in certain ways for the children I have.
Well, so it's got to be different if somebody's putting themselves out as an expert and speaking with you with authority, which you know, most of us, it's like when people are authoritarian to us, we like want to listen and we want to do what they tell us to do. We're compliant people. And you know that they don't know what they're talking about, and you want to try to explain to them, but they aren't willing to listen. That would be a really difficult situation for you.
Yes. Yes, it has been a very difficult situation. the thing about it is that really was a whirlwind, I guess, or was that when my kids were compliant, you know, quote unquote compliant, doing what, you know, what they wanted and when they wanted, they were as sweet as anything to me, you know, and we had a great relationship, them and I mean, they're on the elementary side, so Eli will be going up to the middle school side next year, so that's okay. But
you're kind of happy to be getting out of there.
Well, and I think they're happy about me getting out of there, which is fine,
you
know, because they don't want to deal with him anymore. But and that's okay. It's their loss, not my loss. But I thought, the thing of it is I thought we had a certain kind of relationship, and the minute things get more difficult, when things get very difficult, then we don't have that kind of a relationship.
So hang on a second. I'm gonna loop Jeannie into this conversation. But what I'm gonna let you go off with for a second is that the tool that's kind of popped into my head right now, Tammy, was compassion. And so sit on this question for a minute, and then we'll come back to it. Which is, if you were gonna have compassion for the folks at school that are the authoritarians that are kind of pushing your buttons, you know, think on that for a little bit. So Jeannie, what kind of comes up for you under this idea of taking it personally? What do you notice for you?
Well, taking it personally, I'll tell you, because I have three ADDs, including my husband, I say, you know, time to eat dinner, and they all have their technology, iPad, iPhone, or whatever, computer, and they all come to the table, and I'm like, no, everything goes, whatever, and they, like, grumble and complain, and I'm like, you know what, I just put dinner out there, and you don't really want to eat, and you know, put everything down or whatever. Like, I'm like, kind of forget it. I get kind of moody, you know, for a little bit. And I'm like, okay, you know, put everything down. And then they do after a while. And it does bother me that even though I know they have a hard time detaching from it, it still sometimes it does bother me that they can't detach from it, you know, when I would want them to. They eventually do, and then they put everything away, you know, and then it's, you know, cleaning up after dinner. I know, you know, they like I said, they're Boy Scouts. They're used to cleaning up because that's part of their routine to do that, and they have their schedule, they have their list. So little things like that could get under my skin, and then I put everything in perspective. I know they're baby. I know this is hard for them to detach from it, to let go of it and everything else. I'm so different from them, so I have to remind myself, okay, I am not them, and really putting everything into perspective and having really the realistic expectations, what do I really expect from them? So then everything kind of aligns up when I realize I have to get my own mind in a good give you my own mindset, you know, just a healthy mindset of what I really expect from them.
Yeah, well, and you've really worked hard to kind of have that compassion, Tammy and I were just talking about, where you can see that, you know, their brains work differently and that's what's going on. Is there a particular place that this idea of kind of you taking it personally and taking on more of it than you should tends to happen for you?
Those are like just those little things. I mean, I don't really take it personal anymore. I think I used to a lot. Like, for an example, something happened this week. Actually, my husband took my son's phone like the whole day this week, and he's track after school. My younger son was ticked off, and mad, and blah, 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 and then he just ran out of the car and he slammed the door, and he's just all upset. And I'm like, no, I'm not gonna take that personal. I'm like, I know how Ryan is. I used to. Like, he'd cry, and like, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, I just know how he is. So I used to take all that personal. I don't anymore. I've come a long way. It's just, I just know how he is. So that's just Ryan. By the time he comes home, he'll say, I'm sorry, Mom. I know I've lost it, and he apologizes. So I don't really take a lot of things personal that they do anymore. I just know why they do what they do and kind of let it go quicker. So I don't take it personal anymore.
I love that. And so it sounds like you're a great role model for a lot of the folks that might be listening to the call. What do you think was a couple of the keys for you in really learning not to take it so personally?
Understanding the ADD mind. understanding their mind, and it's not intentional. And I think the biggest learning thing was learning factor is at school. Because my kids do well at school, they don't understand that they have ADD. They're not in any program or anything else. They're not in any plan. And this one teacher actually had not a bad confrontation, but it was not good. You know, through email, she called my son like he's like a five-year-old and everything else. You know, I'm so sad for your mother to be your, you know, mom or, you know, whatever the conversation, I wasn't there. You know, you're a five-year-old. I feel sorry for your mother. And my son told me that. I couldn't believe it. I spoke to the principal about it. She kind of denied it without even saying, I'm like, what in the world? She's crazy. So I'm like, this is not intentional. Ryan is not meaning to do this, whatever. He's going to high school in 2 years. I'm like, she doesn't understand. And she's like, I apologize. I think I offended him. I'm like, no, he didn't offend me. I'm glad you finally see where he's at, that this is not on purpose. He's not intentionally forgetting to bring in his homework and ticking you off all the time. She thinks it's all on purpose. And I'm like, she is just out of her game. She doesn't understand ADD. And I'm not going to take someone who's kind of nutsoid about my son, even though she doesn't understand him. So I don't take that personally, even though I think it's her. I really think it's her. She doesn't. Teachers don't understand ADD. Principals don't understand ADD. They have a general syllabus of what a lot of kids with the any diagnosis or the special education, whatever, and they just generally say, this is what to look for. That's it. That's their training. I spoke to the principal, and I'm like, are you serious? That's it. So they don't know ADD at all. So I'm like, I'm not going to take someone who is up and down with the moods and she's almost like bipolar. That's going to say my son is like, he's just intentional. He's never going to graduate. You know, we do well in high school. And I'm like, you know, you don't know what in the world you're talking about. So someone like that, I'm not going to take a person because I think teachers would get under my skin more than anyone because I don't really respect a lot of them because they don't know kids that have issues, that they're not doing it on purpose. They're not doing it to kick you off, which sometimes I think Ryan is, but I know he's not. He doesn't mean to do that. So I have to understand, you know, his mind and where he's coming from, you know, and let other people let it go. Because my husband ticks me off probably more than my kids at this point, and he doesn't even want to change. So.
Well, hang on a second. So it's interesting. So what do you think is different about the situation with your husband than it is for your kids?
Even though he got his diagnosis when he was, you know, just a couple of years ago. But he's an adult. His whole life he knows there was something different. But he's making a decision, I don't want to change. My kids are trying to change more than he is. He doesn't want to change at all. And I'm like, kind of livid over that. I'm like, really? You know, it's been hard your whole life, entire life, and now you have a chance to change and make it better. And he doesn't want it. It's too much work. My kids are working on their stuff because they know they have to succeed and go to college.
Yeah. Well, and it's got to be really hard to be in this situation where your kids are working hard at managing their ADHD and he's so burned out on it and so overwhelmed by it that he can't even consider doing anything different.
he doesn't want to take his medication, doesn't take medication anymore, and he knows he did help him. Now he's back to coffee, and he has a lot of natural supplements. He doesn't take those, and I know I don't want a baby, and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You don't want to do it, then don't do it, you know. Well, you don't care. I'm like, I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to play a, you know, 13-year-old game like my son Ryan. He'll do that. You don't care about me, Mom. And he's like, oh, I know you love me. You know, he'll go back and forth and vacillate his moods. And my husband does that, and I'm, you're almost 50. I'm like, this is crazy. You know, so I'm not that I don't have any compassion for my husband, but he needs to decide. He's, come on, are you, do you want to change or not? My goodness, and I don't think he wants to. It's just too much work for him. He doesn't want to do it.
Well, so hang on a second. So you said that one of the things that really, so can I push you on this a little bit, Jeannie?
Sure.
Okay. So you said that one of the things that's helped you more than anything else with your kids is really seeing and understanding that it's their ADHD that's making it difficult for them and just having compassion for it.
Yeah.
What would you need to say is true about the situation with your husband in order to kind of step into that same compassion?
If I could see him trying to work on stuff that he hasn't at all, if I could see him trying to work, my kids are trying so hard to work on their stuff, and he hasn't. And I'm like, do you don't want, I'm going to try. I'm like,
right. So he's not trying. It feels like, you know, at least my kids are trying, and that makes me, you know, feel like, oh, I can have more compassion for them because they're trying. And I guess the question that kind of pops in my mind, I'm probably not going to say it very elegantly, is what if the not trying part is part of what really is struggling for him? And so that part of it is that he's been so beat down by his own challenges over this year that he's kind of just over these years that he's just like too burned out to even try.
I don't know. I don't know how to wrap my mind about around that part for the adult, I guess, because I'm just because I am so different in that mindset.
Yeah, you get it done. Like you pull yourself up. If it's, you know, there's nothing that's too hard to surpass. And if you really wanted to change something, you'd get to action and you'd try something. And he's stuck, clearly.
He's been to counselors and everything else. He doesn't maintain it. He doesn't finish it out. There's any complaints about everyone else at the job site. There's some people that do have ADD. And he complains about them. I'm like, how could you complain? You have it too, but you're not working on it. But we'll complain about them. But he doesn't do himself. And that's
Here's the thing that comes for me, Jean. One of the things that I know you've heard us use the naughty versus neurological thing for a while, right? Because you've been around us for a while. So what if we applied that to your husband? And so we said, and this is just the exercise that, and tell me whether you're willing to do this as a trial, but the exercise I usually have my clients do is to say, just pretend for 2 weeks that absolutely everything, every challenge, every stuck, every everything is because of what's going on in his brain. You know, so if he's having a hard time trying anything, if he's having a hard time doing what he wants to do, if he's not managing, if he's not anything, it's not because he doesn't want to. It's literally that either because self-esteem or depression or ADD or whatever it is getting him stuck. How would that change it for you for just 2 weeks?
So just try to get behind his mind and understand where he's coming from. Is that what you're pretty much saying?
Just pure compassion. So all you're going to do for the next 2 weeks is just I'm going to try to give him compassion for the next 2 weeks and see if it works. Because it may or it may not. I mean, the reality is that it's just a tool, which is, it makes perfect sense that you're frustrated, Jeannie, because you're a kind of woman who, if things get stuck, you unstick them. And you see your kids working really hard, and you see your husband not working at it, and it makes it hard to be compassionate. I get it completely.
Mm-hmm.
What if you kind of pushed past that just for a period of time and said, okay, you know what? No matter what he does, I'm going to try to just have compassion for him for the next 2 weeks.
And honestly, I have done that. I have done that. I'm like, okay, you know, I know he's kind of trying or whatever, and I'm not going to even bring this up. I'm just going to let it go and try to have compassion for where he's at. I don't think it makes, I don't know. I've never seen that it makes things better. He just wants to be, because it's been left such a long, long time, he almost wants pity and blaming everyone for everything else. I mean, he's going around.
Well, so I'm going to loop Tammy into this. Tammy, what are you noticing as we're talking about this?
I mean, I can see where the compassion would, you know, fit. A lot of compassion. Putting yourself in his shoes. Excuse me.
Yeah, no, and it's hard because I think that's the piece of it is that I'm wondering, you know, it's like when we show our kids compassion, it's not always just about ignoring it. Sometimes it's about saying things like, wow, I know it's really hard for you. I know that it must be difficult for you when stuff like this is hard. And so I guess the question is, you know, is there a way to, how interested are you, Jeannie, at trying something that might help and support both of you in making a small shift?
Okay, I'll try it. But what are those, I guess, what does that look like? Not saying anything, shutting my mouth, just let him, just trying to understand his perspective of where he's coming from, like I do for my kids.
Does he complain? Does he get frustrated? Or does he just do nothing?
He doesn't, he just doesn't do anything about anything that needs to be done. Put it that way. You know, there will be a list of things. Oh, yeah, whatever. He just doesn't have any motivation, any drive. You know, he goes to work, and then sometimes he's burnt out. Right now, he's a superintendent for a construction company. Right now, it's a little bit slow, and he's like, oh, I'm bored now. And before, he's either bored or stressed out. You know, those are the pendulums he goes through.
Okay. Yeah, so he's bored or stressed out. So what's a realistic expectation for someone who's completely overwhelmed or bored or uninterested or unmotivated with an ADHD brain? What's a realistic expectation? Are they going to be able to do anything?
Probably not. He needs a motivation to do something. But the thing is, he thinks it's my responsibility. He even said that he goes, you have to get me motivated. I'm like, I don't think so. That should not be my responsibility. But he's putting that on me as an adult. I said, well, what do you think is going to motivate you to do it? I don't know. Can you tell me? I'm like, I don't know what's going to motivate you. What interests you? I mean, he's someone who buys stuff. He buys technology, buys phones. He's gone through a lot of iPhones, and he gets bored with that, and then move on to something else. And he's always trying to have a motivation, something else that's going to keep him going. You know, he knows that about himself.
Yeah.
He always has to have that motivation, but he's putting that on me, that I have to find a way to motivate him to do something.
Well, or, I mean, what other choice do you have?
I don't know, honestly.
Well, I mean, so are you willing to brainstorm for a second?
Sure. I mean, we've even gotten I can't remember her name. If we got on the marriage thing, we did that for a little bit. He got bored with that. He didn't want to do that. We've tried counseling. He didn't want to go to counseling. The counselor was kind of fed up with him. It's like, you know, you and I can just sit and talk with Jeannie all day because he's not going to show up. He shows up.
So Jeannie, let me ask you a question. So if you had to evaluate where he is on a scale of 0 to 10 in terms of his interest in making a change, where would you put him?
4.
A 4. Okay. So how realistic is it that there's going to be a change that's going to happen if he's only a 4 and he's got ADHD?
Probably not going to happen.
Okay. So if you knew that he wasn't going to change or very little or wasn't going to take action and wasn't going to be able to do much more than what he's doing right now, what would change for you?
What would change for me? I don't think much. I mean, I've accepted that I've kind of accepted this is how he is, but I honestly think it's sad. Because I realize my sisters told me that my father probably had ADD. I'm like, well, he's still alive. He does have ADD. You know, he's still in New York. But I'm like, oh, wow. Man, I guess there's a lot of similarities there. You know, and
it's hard. You're such a get it done kind of person. So I'm going to share. Can I share a personal story and see if it applies?
Sure.
And if not, we can just move on. So I don't know if you guys know that I'm not living with my husband. We've been separated and are in the process of getting divorced, and we've been apart for like 4 years.
Okay.
And I remember very distinctly a point at which I was really very frustrated because I'd asked him to do stuff and it was hard for him to do it. And I was doing everything around the house. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really, really resentful. And it was very interesting to me because when he moved out, all of a sudden I was doing all the same things that I was doing before. But I was doing it because it was my job, as opposed to because he wasn't doing them. Yes. And it shifted everything for me because I was just kind of like, okay, I've got to hear all the things that have to be done around the house. It's my job to get them done. As mm-hmm. opposed to before where I felt like it's not fair that I have to do it because it's my job. And so for me, that shift of this needs to get done, I'm just going to do it, felt very different than why can't he do it? And so I don't know if that opens anything or shifts anything for you, Jeannie, but just sharing that really kind of, I was called to kind of share that with you.
Honestly, I mean, my husband does make the money. I mean, I was thinking about going back to work, but I would be so emotionally drained because they drain me. Really, they drain me, you know, ADD and then Asperger's too. You know, my son has double diagnosis. It's a draining job. And my husband really comes home and doesn't want to do anything. So I do everything. I do the bills. You know, I'll go shopping and everything. They're on supplements, up the kazoo. I mean, they're all on supplements, everything. And so I do everything else. He just really does the work. And he comes home 6 or 7 at night. So I do everything else. He makes the money.
And that makes it hard.
And I do everything else. You know, I pay the bills because he doesn't remember to do the bills. And, you know, and I'm like, forget it. So I'll do the bills. I'll do everything. I won't even ask you. I said, can you just do some yard work or whatever? And he's capable, and he's superintendent. He knows how to work on anything. He's a carpenter. He does all that stuff. But he forgets to do. He doesn't want to do. He doesn't want to repair anything. I will call the repair person. I'll do everything else, and he'll make the money. So, and then I'll do everything else in the house. Do the shopping. You know, the guys do a schedule. They do their cleaning of their rooms, and I take care of, you know, all their school stuff. My husband doesn't really have a clue what's going on in their school. And so I say, this is what's going on in their school. Oh, that's nice. So I do everything else.
Yeah,
so
it's hard. It's hard carrying all the weight like you are, Jeannie, I'm
sure. Yeah, so I carry that burden. He carries, you know, the finances, which is good for him because other than that, he would stay home and do nothing. His personality is really should be very laid back and do nothing, and he knows it. He's like, I just do nothing, be on my iPhone all day. And I'm like, I know how you are. Yeah. So I've accepted that. But sometimes, you know, just – do something else. You know how to do all these things in the yard. You know how to do it. He just doesn't want to do it. He knows how to do it. He just doesn't want to.
And it's frustrating. Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm going to loop back to Tammy here. So, Tammy, what anything that's coming up for you? Because I was going to go back to the whole thing about playing and about having fun between now and August. But where do you want to go?
I was just listening to Jeannie. Well, can I offer her something?
Absolutely.
Would that be okay? Well, sometimes when my husband's overwhelmed, you know, it sounds like your husband's really overwhelmed. And sometimes when one of the kids or my husband's really overwhelmed, one of the kids will come alongside him and they'll say, Dad, can you help me with this? Or he'll say, Dad, can we do this together? And that changes everything. And then they'll go out and they'll do whatever it is, like cutting the lawn. Like Dennis really wanted to, my boy really wanted to learn how to mow the lawn. And my husband was really, really tired. And I mean, he works a lot as well. And my son was like, Dad, can we do this together? And my husband was like, okay. We'll do it together, you know, so that worked out. And they've been doing it together for the past, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And they have a really good time together. So, I mean, that was a help there. It's just something that helped both of them, actually. So,
yeah, my kids do things together because my husband's a leader for Boy Scouts, and that's his way out, you know, which is great. Once a month they go out, and I'm like, thank you, that is my break, and I get a clean house and everything else. I love them, but I'm like, once a month, they all leave. So they do things together. They do their outings. My sons, we're going to be going, well, probably my husband, just one of my sons. They like doing crabbing. So they go out and do their crabbing. You know, my husband just likes to do that stuff, play stuff. Like last night, he ended up helping my younger son do a map. My son was doing a map of Africa, and he did some clay, and he did the whole board, and And Mom's like, I have to go out. Pete, you help Ryan with doing that. And he's like, okay. And he's kind of grumpy about it at first. And I came home, I'm like, wow, look at this. This is a great picture. Look at you guys working together. But I think they had a good time doing it because my husband usually doesn't. I always help Ryan with his projects if he's late. He was kind of, and it wasn't last minute, but it was like a long project. And he was finishing up late last night. So that was nice. They did it together. I'm like, this is a rarity. I always do everything with them. So my husband had to kick in and put his computer down or his iPad, and he ended up helping my son, which is doesn't usually happen. So, yeah, they do things together, but it's not the norm. It's not all the time. He's like grumpy about, oh, okay, I have to give up my phone. All right. But he will.
Well, and it sounds like it could be, so, Jeannie, it sounds like it could potentially be a tool for you that it's kind of like if you're noticing that he's stuck, then maybe finding a way to kind of get him to engage with the guys might be a way to get him to get some help. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate that. So let me just loop back with you. We're getting close to time here, but, you know, as I don't know if you've reflected at all on either on the not taking it personally or on the you know, goals for the summer, but, you know, how can I help you kind of as you close off for this call today?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
If we were going to spend a few minutes kind of helping you focus in on something, what would you most like to help with?
Oh, I was thinking, maybe what we'll do, the kids and I, is we will kind of look at the calendar and say, all right, you know, maybe every other day there can be something, you know, if we get to school on time, And you do your stuff and I'll do my stuff at home, a couple things. You do your things there. Like this day we can do, you know, something. And then a couple days later, you know, we'll do something else. And then a Saturday we'll go away for the day, you know, something like that. Maybe that will work out.
So what's going to be the most difficult? Yeah, I was going to say, what's going to be difficult about that for you?
What will be difficult about that?
Yeah.
If they don't do what they're supposed to do. I think actually what the problem is that thinking about it is not that they're, I mean, they are the way they are. I'm not going to change the way they are. I'm just going to help them manage the way they are, right? So I think I just don't want to get yelled at in summer school. Really, that's really what the thing is, I think.
What would be different if you knew that, so I guess we've been talking about this compassion thing. So did you take my challenge as we were talking about compassion?
About compassion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to have compassion. See, these are all different, yeah. I always feel like I have to do the compassion part. Isn't that awful? Terrible to
feel like work
like that. It feels like a lot of work, actually. But,
what is it about it that makes it hard?
I just wish that people. If people are trained, I mean, if people have a title, you would think they would be able to see what I see in them. I guess
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, especially they're smart people. They should be educated. They should know this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do if that's not true?
I don't know. I guess I just feel bad for them. I mean I can't make it any different. I can just keep, you know, doing what I do, you know. But I guess what I'll have to do is just keep modeling for them. I guess I can just leave it right there. Because I'm not going to change. I'm not going to bring them to school after yelling at them and all of that. That's not going to happen. So, I mean, that's definitely not going to happen. So, maybe if I can, you know, just keep doing what I'm doing and modeling for them. And then just, you know, when they call, let them know it's okay. Guys, it's okay with me. He's there. He's okay. You know, he doesn't have to be.
What if you knew that he was okay even if they disagreed with you.
Yeah, well, it has to be. It has to be that way because there's points where I refuse to give in, you know. There's some things that just are not going to happen. You know?
Yes, and it makes it hard. It makes it hard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so let's do our wrap-up, ladies. So, four questions. What stood out the most for you? What ahas did you have? What did you focus on? Let me just read what is in here. What did you focus on or pay most attention to today? What was your clarity, your takeaway, an aha you had? What's the realistic action step for you to take? And what do you want to do to set yourself up for success? So take a minute, think through that, and let me know what you want to, what aha you've had and what you want to commit to.
I think that was just mine, just what I told you is instead of being, you know, getting all nervous when I take them to school and out, because there's been times where Eli has run out the door on them and he's run around the school building and then they'll call me and say, you know, well, you should have done this and you should have done, you know, all of that kind of thing. And my thing is, well, he's in there with you people, you know. But I think my aha would be just to, you know, to just kind of keep modeling for them and just be, you know, just be gentle with them, actually, you know, with the adults, and just say, well, you know.
How would that change things if you were able to do that?
Well, then I wouldn't hear that. Then I wouldn't hear the you should, and you just go home and do what you need to. You know, you go home and you do whatever you do, and you know all that kind of thing. Well, I don't need that kind of talk to me, you know. So instead of taking that in, I guess I can just kind of turn around and just keep. I mean, of course, keep managing him so he gets better and better, you know, keeps on moving forward with the whole thing, but just keep modeling for them. And when I pick him up, I give him a hug and everything like that. He doesn't get in trouble because he gave me a hard time going to school, you know, modeling that kind of a thing.
Love that.
I'm not going to yell. Sometimes they call and they think that if I have to go there, that I'm going to yell at him, and I am not doing that. That's not what I'm doing. It's not going to happen. So if I can just keep, you know, I guess if I can just keep calm and just keep modeling what I'm trying to, I just keep showing them what I'm trying to show them, that it'll just be okay.
As long as it's
okay with me, it's okay. I'm not responsible for how they react to that, right?
Are you asking or are you telling me?
I'm telling you, but I want to make sure I'm correct. I do believe that's correct. That sounds like a good thing to me.
What would it take for you to really believe that instead of just being curious about whether it's true?
Well, I've had so much practice, Diane. But I guess I just have to, let's see, what would it take for me to, I guess it just has to not matter to me if they really, really like me. Mm-hmm. You know? Well, I think that's probably it.
Well, I'm curious about that because it sounds like what's kind of motivating you underneath this is your desire to not get yelled at and to be liked.
I don't like to be talked to that way, and I didn't do anything wrong, and I'm raising my children different than some people raise their children, and that's all okay. But I'm not going.
Well, so what if this is about? What if you weren't going to take this personally, Tammy?
Right. I'm not going to take it personally because the decisions I've made on how to raise my children might be different than the decisions that other people make on how to raise their kids. So,
mm-hmm. Right? What are you going to do to remember that?
I have to keep telling, you know what? I have to keep telling myself that. I guess I just didn't expect to find that where I found it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I thought we had a different relationship until things got difficult and then it turned around. But, you know, it's not okay. It just is what it is. But,
well,
yeah,
it's like, what do you do to remember that? Again, that's the question. So, Jeannie, what about you? What do you, what stood out the most for you?
Well, what I focus on, of course, this whole thing is about compassion. Compassion for actually for my husband. I do have a lot of compassion for my kids, what they're going through. And there's actually a really good movie. I think it was called Where's Alice or What Happened to Alice. It's about a lady who has Alzheimer's, which they say EDD. I don't know if you've ever heard this. It's kind of like child Alzheimer's, which I kind of freaked me out when I saw this. I'm like, oh, I don't think they're that bad. Some components of the movie was kind of like, you know, forgetting stuff and don't remember where you're at, don't remember anything. But Alzheimer's is like beyond ADD. So that movie made me cry. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is what my kids and my husband's going through. I can't even imagine. But that is the severity of ADD. So that gave me a lot of compassion for even I can't even imagine living like that. But also compassion. My focus on was compassion and being patient where my whole family is at, you know. But also, you know, enjoying the moment where we're at right now because in the summer, you know, we want to also enjoy the summer, you know, because we had a busy year. And so we pretty much enjoy the summer and just make it, you know, fun for all of us as a family. My clarity, a takeaway from today, is basically don't take things personally. And I used to take everything personal. And especially, like I said, I never really respected teachers too much at all. So I really, like, whatever to them. They don't really faze me at all because they don't really know anything. They're kind of ignorant when it comes to kids with diagnoses and stuff because they don't have a clue, you know. So I don't even take them personal at all. And a realistic action step for me to take is pretty much remind myself that my kids and my husband are not doing things intentionally, you know, and I have to really try to put myself in their shoes. And do your 2 week, pretend for 2 weeks, put myself in my husband's shoes and just have compassion for him. You know, just set myself up for success with that. And so just be accountable, I guess, to this group for the next 2 weeks and see where I go and check in and see how I'm doing.
How good. Cool. Awesome. Well, I like that you're taking the challenge, Jeannie. It's brave of you because it's hard. I mean, it's very... Your reaction is very normal, and it's hard to kind of see an adult when you see these kids working so hard and to see an adult that looks like he's not doing anything to change the situation and still unhappy with it. It's got to be hard to live like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Great. Great call today, ladies. Nice connecting with both of you. The next week there is, I think, a lifeline call. My calendar's not up for a second here. Let me pull it up real quick. Let's see. Yeah, so next week there's a lifeline call on Thursday at noon, and then the PSF groups meet again the week of the 6th. So take care, and we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.